A reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord, O my people, I will open your graves and have you rise from them and bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and have you rise from them, O my people. I will put my spirit in you that you may live, and I will settle you upon your land. Thus you shall know that I am the Lord. I have promised, and I will do it, says the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And fullness of redemption.
Out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my voice in supplication.
With the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption.
If you, O Lord, mark iniquities, Lord, who can stand? But with you is forgiveness, that you may be revered.
With the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption.
I trust in the Lord. My soul trusts in his word. More than sentinels wait for the dawn, let Israel wait for the Lord.
With the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption.
For with the Lord is kindness, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he will redeem Israel from all their iniquities.
With the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption.
A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you who are not in the flesh, on the contrary, you are in the Spirit, if only the Spirit of God dwells in you. Whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. If the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also, through his Spirit dwelling in you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Now a man was ill, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and dried his feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was ill. So the sisters sent word to Jesus saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and you want to go back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." He said this, then told them, "Our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I am going to awaken him." So the disciples said to him, "Master, if he is asleep, he will be saved." But Jesus was talking about his death, while they thought he meant ordinary sleep. So then Jesus said to them clearly, "Lazarus has died, and I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him." So Thomas, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go to die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary secretly, saying, "The teacher is here and is asking for you." As soon as she heard this, she rose quickly and went to him, for Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still where Martha had met him. So when the Jews who were with her in the house comforting her saw Mary get up quickly and go out, they followed her, presuming that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?" So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "Lord, by now there will be a stench. He has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." On this, the fifth Sunday of Lent, the final Sunday of Lent that we will celebrate prior to the Holy Week, beginning always traditionally with Palm Sunday, the narrative of the Passion of the Lord according to this year's Gospel of Matthew, we are given arguably what is considered to be the greatest miracle recorded in all four Gospels. And we could not ask for a better Gospel writer to give it to us than that of John, the beloved. And he attends to his presentation with great attention to detail. We are told that Jesus is informed that his friend Lazarus is ill to the point of death. The sisters send notification to him. But Jesus, aware of the situation, and so we can say it's premeditated what he does. He decides to stay on 2 days longer because, we're told, he loves Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. So he stays on 2 days longer. That's the reason why. And then the disciples, of course, are somewhat incredulous because Jesus is desiring to go to Judea. He said, "But Lord," they're saying, they're remonstrating with him, they're rebuking him. They said, "They were just trying to kill you there. Are we going to go there?" He says, "Are there not 12 hours in the day in which one can walk by the light of the world? And if we are in that light, there's no, we can avoid issues, the pitfalls and whatnot." And so it is. But of course, we remember too, Jesus declaring himself as the light of the world. So long as they are with him, following him, they have nothing to fear. And so we hear how it unfolds. Thomas, always given the title of the doubter, is actually expressing great courage. He says to the others, "Well, let us go to die with him." So we have that situation set. Now, as he's going, John also presents us with this scene in the manner that he assumes that we are familiar with the fact that Jesus is close to Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, because he makes a reference to Mary being the sister of Martha and Lazarus that actually anointed Jesus' feet with the costly aromatic nard and dried it with her hair. Remember, Judas rebuked it and said, "Hey, we could have used that to give to the wages. We could have sold that and given it to the poor." And Jesus corrected him and said, "You will always have the poor to take care of, but you will not always have me." What she has done is in preparation for my impending death. And what she has done will be remembered to the end of time, as often as this gospel is proclaimed. So we see how all of this has been said. And Jesus is wanting to communicate to us two things, as his disciples now, as well as his disciples then, in fact, for disciples until the end of the world. Number one, he wants us to understand that he is the Lord over life and death. He is the one who has the power to do all things without exception. The Father has sent him into the world. No one knows the Son but the Father. No one knows the Father but the Son and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal. So he is absolutely thankful to the Father that this has happened, that he was not there, so that this reality can be confirmed definitively. What would it have meant for the first century Jews to have someone in a tomb buried for 4 days? Well, for one thing, there was no question about that person being dead. The Jews did not embalm the bodies of the dead. The Egyptians had that practice. And so it was believed, in fact, in the Mishnah, which is the collection of the legal documentations and so forth of the law that the Jews have, it actually says that they had the held belief that the soul of the deceased stays near the body for up to 3 days and after that departs. So from the fourth day on, the corruption sets in. There is no way to truly identify the person after that. And so what they would do, this is why we will hear the account of the women going to the tomb of Jesus with spices to offer like a potpourri to be a deodorizer for the stench that the body would leave. And so this is why we hear Martha remonstrating with Jesus. Now look at Martha, true to form. She's the one who's active, very much taking initiative, extrovert of the family. She's running when she hears Jesus. She goes to him, but she doesn't go without taking jabs. She gives him a piece of her mind. Now, of course, you have to read it and understand it. If you would have been here, my brother, he would never have died. But listen to how she even goes on to say, but even now, I know that if you ask it of the Father, it will be done. It will be given to you. Your brother will rise. I know at the end, at the last judgment and the final resurrection, yes. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord. Now listen to this. Now this is a confession that ranks up there with Peter as well as Thomas. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world. Kudos for Martha, who always seems to be getting the raw end of the deal. Martha, Martha, you are so worried. You're anxious about many things, but she expresses profound faith in Jesus as the one sent by God. And so we hear it unfold. She goes to get her sister, says to her secretly, the master wants to see you. Now, he didn't say anything to her. But this is Martha. So Mary gets up, she goes, and she very much adoring the feet of Jesus, confirming the scripture, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. Well, there's nothing better than the greatest good news. Jesus himself is that gospel. So she's at his feet and saying the same thing. But notice their mindset. If you would have been here, my brother would never have died. Jesus wants to confirm us in not only realizing that he has the ability to cure any malady whatsoever, but he wants us to understand that more important to him than curing the diseases or illnesses that can lead to death, he wants to deal with death itself. Because all of us in here are haunted by the specter of our own personal death. We all have to deal with that. And Jesus, in the fullness of his humanity, expresses that he is not happy about that one bit. He does not. He has an anger that death is a part of the creation that the Father set in motion from the beginning. So we hear when it says he was perturbed, it's actually the translation, he was angered. He's angered at this. And he weeps, letting us know that it is proper, it is acceptable, it's a good thing to express sadness to the point of weeping, crying for one who has died that we love. This is by no means to say it's something that the Lord is oblivious to, that he is very much in it. And as much as we suffer in this life, that's another thing we gain insight about. Why is it that he waited 2 more days? Because, and this is something we can see in the lives of the saints. You read about the lives of the saints and you get inspired and say, I want to be a saint. But what do you discover about the saints? Without exception, Those saints who grow closer and closer to Jesus, you know what else they grow closer and closer to Jesus in likeness to? His suffering. St. John Paul II, a prime example in recent years. St. Thérèse of Lisieux, tuberculosis. And we can go on. And then look at the martyrs, those who were gifted with the ability, but the grace of God to actually lay their lives down like Jesus. All of this is a confirmation for us that what Jesus is communicating more than anything else is that reality of the Spirit that St. Paul speaks of. We who live in the Spirit, the body is dead because of sin, but we live in the Spirit and we are alive. And it's that same Spirit that will be responsible for bringing us from the tomb when he calls us forth as he did. Lazarus, come out! He will call each one of us. Now you know, this miracle was such a tremendous situation that this, we are told, many came to believe in Jesus because of this miracle. But that's not the only thing that transpired as a result of this miracle. Those Judeans, that sect of the Jews in the southern kingdom, in the southern realm, in where Jerusalem was, not all Jews. Now it's translated the Jews, but it's not. Because Martha, Mary, Lazarus were Jews. They were religious. They believed in God. They were faithful. But this was a political sect that had very big problems with Jesus because he was exposing their hypocrisy in the way he spoke, but in his deeds. And he was even trying to correct them in love time and time again. So these guys, when they saw this miracle, when they heard of it, their conclusion was, he has to go. We must put this man down. And not only him, Lazarus too, because the whole world, the gospel clearly states this, the whole world is now coming to him. We must do away with this man. Lazarus is all of us. All of us need to hear and understand beyond a shadow of a doubt the significance of what this gospel records. And we know that this event happened as it did. Look at the details that John purposely highlights for us, point for point for point, to let us know this happened. People remembered this event. And it was St. Andrew of Crete, I can only paraphrase, beautifully preaching on this gospel, he said, as the friend of Lazarus, Jesus called him by his name. As the Lord, he says, he commands him, come out. And for the benefit of the community to know that this was the person that they placed in the tomb, untie him now, unwrap the bandages, take off the burial wrappings so that you can see it is him. Not only does he have the power to bring us back from death, but also to restore what death effects, corruption. He makes all things new. He gives us a preview of his resurrection, but of everyone's resurrection. We will be raised up. We say this in our creed, and sometimes we say this creed, and it just becomes words that we memorize. We don't realize the profundity, the significance of this. This is real. Jesus loves us to the point of death, especially death on the cross. So it's to confirm us in who he is, but also to confirm us in what we hear the prophet Ezekiel say this morning for us. In this 37th chapter, he says, thus says the Lord God, O my people, I will open your graves and have you rise from them and bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and have you rise from them, O my people, I will put my spirit in you that you may live. and I will settle you upon your land. Thus you shall know that I am the Lord. I have promised, and I will do it, says the Lord. This is not just something arbitrary being presented to us. Jesus, fully aware as the eternal Word of God, he knows what the Father has spoken. For he is the Word of the Father. He's the revelation of the Father. Have no doubt whatsoever. This is why that same question that Jesus poses to Martha is being posed to us. Do you believe this? I am the resurrection and the life. I know he will rise again. I am. Roll back the stone. There's going to be a stench. I said, did you or did you not believe that you will see the glory of God? Roll the stone. We must also understand that when God moves in our lives in a powerful way, it will necessarily mean things will become topsy-turvy. There are things that will bring us into uncomfortable situations. We can identify and hopefully we sympathize and empathize with Martha. Imagine all that she had to go through, being the way she was, preparing everything, serving everything, all that she went through to prepare her brothers for his death and his burial. And then to have Jesus come and say all of this, you're going to make me go through this again? What is happening here? Be still and know that I am God. God speaks and it happens. We're going to hear our names called. At the end, all the saints in heaven, with the exception of the Blessed Virgin Mary, their spirits, their souls are there. But they await the day when their bodies will be restored, glorified, as is the promise of the Father, according to the model, according to Jesus, who is the standard. This is for us today. We have a baptism this morning following this Mass. What a blessed moment it will be. From that point forward, this child will be invested with that Spirit to ensure that when the earthly journey concludes, they will be resurrected in glory. Let us call to mind what in our lives needs to be undone, needs to be unbound. Where are we bind? What's binding us? Because we don't have to go to Bethany in the Holy Land to visit the tomb of Lazarus. Every confessional is a tomb of Lazarus. When anybody goes to confession with sincere sorrow in their heart, coming to Jesus in the person of the priest, and you confess your sins, believing in him as the one who has this power, you and I are experiencing something greater than a resurrection. A soul that is dead in sin is resurrected. It's renewed. It's revivified. This is the mystery of faith that our catechumens of the present times are preparing for. You and I who've experienced it, we must consider to what extent are we living as the child of the light? Are we truly invested? Are we all in? Because believe it, Lazarus was all dead. He wasn't in a coma. And that's interesting too. Jesus says he's asleep. Why does he use that reference? Why asleep? Because he wants us to understand sleep. When we think of sleep, nobody sleeps forever. Even a person in a coma, 14, 20 years, 30 years in a coma, eventually they wake up. So death is not, it's not an end. It's an end, but it's not forever. It is temporal. It will release and give way to life, which is what Jesus communicates to us. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. God love you.